I thought about doing this later in the message, but I'm going to go ahead and say it now and get it over with because it's a little bit scary to say this. But for 30 years, I've been coming to chapel at Appalachian Bible College. 30 years. That's older than most of you, or more years than most of you. For 30 years, I've heard Dr. Anderson preach, and so far, unless my listening skills have not been really well so far, I don't think I've heard the same message twice. You can correct me later, not now, please. Okay. But there's one thing that bothers me that Dr. Anderson does in chapel. Boy, this is scary. I told you it was scary. There are times, and he just did it even this week, that he will ask a question like, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus." And he won't get much of a response. Or, "Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian?" And then he has to ask again, "For the rest of you," he says. Y'all remember him doing that, saying that? You may have to continue to do it, but God help us to not be ashamed to say amen and praise the Lord or hallelujah. Remember Dr. Ryder, if you guys remember Dr. Ryder, when he would preach the word, he would come up with a truth, you know, he would be preaching and a truth would just be there and he'd hold up his Bible and that big smile, he'd say, "Hallelujah," big smile. Remember that? You guys don't. Well, I'll never forget that. God help us not to be ashamed or even asleep in chapel. What a privilege we have to be in chapel. About 28 years ago, if my math is right, I was sitting in a classroom over in Bukama. It was Ann Hamsock class, and honestly, you know, with my intelligence, I struggled with, well, what does this mean? You know, what's this mean? And I know this, at that time in my life, I was married, I had my first child and one on the way, and I was working, I was getting up at 3:30 every morning, Monday through Friday, to go to UPS from 4 to 9. Or between 8 and 9, I would get off work. Dr. Penner Sr.'s Ann Hamsock class was 9 a.m. over in Bukama Hall. I remember running into class. We won't do this anymore, but filthy, dirty because of work all night. I usually took time to wash my face and hands. People didn't sit close to me because I sweat all night long. And I know this, in that class, the depth of what he was teaching was phenomenal. What was in the notes that he delivered in classroom was just phenomenal. And I don't know, and honestly, if I'm truly honest with you, I probably didn't get what I should have gotten those days. As a matter of fact, until later in my life, in my studies, it, like 1 or 2 in the morning in my study, I'm preparing to preach, and all of a sudden I come across this definition of the word salvation. And honestly, the Spirit of God really dealt with me that night, and I thought, how have I missed this for so long, or how have I not really put emphasis on this? Because it's, when you think of salvation, it's phenomenal. As a matter of fact, I teach this in men's health class. Salvation is the core of our being as believers. What we do with this most wonderful, precious, incredible gem, the gift of salvation, is more important than anything else on the earth that we do as believers. Everything else is secondary. Now, for some of you, you haven't had the class yet, and I'm not sure why we wait on this, but You might want to write this down in your chapel journal. If you memorize this, you'll be ahead, because I think that whoever teaches it now will have this on an exam someday, and you can be way ahead, okay? If you've already had it, I pray that what we do here today really is just a wonderful reminder to us. According to Dr. Penner Sr., salvation is the work of a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, by the which when one trusts the Savior, Jesus Christ, he's redeemed from sin, set free from the penalty of God's wrath, justified, sanctified, kept secure, and ultimately glorified. Now, I know you couldn't write that down, so I got this famous, or this wonderful, there you go. No, wrong one. How do I back up? There we go, thank you. It's great to have friends, you know. There it is. Okay. And I want to challenge you to memorize this, because I really believe that even witnessing to people, if you can explain what this is and share this with a lost and dying world, I think God will use that. I really do. When Dr. Penner taught this, you know, he said it's a multifaceted gem. In other words, it has many, salvation has many parts to it, or areas, or just many facets. I don't know that the human mind can even comprehend all that we get when we get and receive this wonderful gift of salvation. I think we'll spend a lifetime as believers searching the scriptures and being blessed more and more by the abundance and the wealth and the riches that we get in this gift of salvation. Now, in this definition, there's one, as a matter of fact, we know this. We could spend more than a semester. We could spend a phenomenal amount of time studying just this definition, the depth that is in just this definition. You think about it, redeemed from sin, delivered from the penalty of God's wrath. I don't have to worry, as a believer, we don't have to worry about God's punishment. We don't have to worry about hell. We're delivered from the pits of hell. I don't know about you, but that's an amen to me. I don't have to worry. I'm justified. I'm declared right before God. We could talk about that. I could preach just about that. I'm declared right because of the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, not in my faith in that, not by anything that I've done, only by what Christ has done. I'm declared just or right before God. Praise the Lord. I'm sanctified or set apart positionally and practically. I'm set apart for God's use. And for the rest of my life, once I've accepted Christ as my Savior and received this gift of salvation, I'm on a journey to be more and more like Christ, or we are on this journey progressively, practically, daily, striving to be holy, striving to be more and more like Christ. I didn't understand this, and Dr. A won't remember that, he may, but you know, 18 years old, here I am coming out of Ohio and walking in front of Pipkin Hall and coming out of a classroom and me saying to Dr. Anderson, what do you mean you're eternal secure? What do you mean you can't lose your salvation? I didn't know that. And through the scripture, he didn't change my mind right away. He said, get into the Word and be in the classroom and study the Bible and you'll see. And you know what? God showed me. And you know what? It's an incredible thing to know that my soul, according to Hebrews, is anchored in the highest heaven with Christ and in Christ. That's phenomenal. And someday, we'll be redeemed from this world and our lives will be made whole and complete. No more problems with this world. But someday we'll be like Him. We will be ultimately glorified. Now, the thing that I really want to emphasize today, like I said, and you guys know this, all of us know this, we could spend hours preaching sermons on just one of those. I want to focus on one today, and that's redeemed from sin. Isn't it wonderful to be redeemed from sin? Now, when I got to looking at this, God really, this is just something that God just really placed on my heart. And honestly, I've never done what I'm going to do here today. I've never done this message. But God really convicted me of this word, redemption. And in studying, and I'm sure some of you read it, and if you're in the class someday, you'll come across these things. But Dwight Pentecost wrote something like this, that when a Roman general would go out to a city to conquer a city, and he would win the battle, he would bring all the belongings, all the goods, all the wealth, and the men and the family and the children and all of them, and they would come to the marketplace or to the city, and the wealthy people would be, I think, seated higher. And they would look down upon the people coming in, and the general would wave because he was proud. He won the battle. He conquered the battle. And he would march these men in, and I think it seems like that many of them were in chains because they were prisoners of war. And these prisoners would be placed upon auction blocks and sold. Now, this is going to be awkward here, to be honest with you. But I just want us to get a glimpse, just a little taste, just a small sample of what that must have been like. I've asked the senior men to help me. Fellas, come right on up here. And one at a time, they're going to step on this block. And they're going to be there for just 20 seconds. That's going to be a long 20 seconds. And I would appreciate it, honestly, is if all you would do is think about the scene or what it must have been like. Thank you, men. That was nothing at all like what it must have been then. But think about this, just what they had to experience. Just 20 seconds of standing in front of you guys. It's a strange feeling. It's almost humbling to even step up on a block and be in front of you. Now, when I got to looking at this, I thought that the men were brought and only them were placed on the auction block because they were the best laborers, best workers. Okay? I know this, at that time, when Paul wrote this in Ephesians about having redemption through Christ and the forgiveness of sins that we meditated on, this is what they had in mind, redemption from the auction block. This is what they experienced. We don't experience anything like this. As a matter of fact, we're almost a little bit too comfortable, I think. In my studies, I found out this. It wasn't just the men. As a matter of fact, a 14-year-old girl to the age of 40 was very valuable because she could produce more slaves. families were tore up. You know, the battle had been, can you imagine this really, even as a man, a soldier, fighting for your family, fighting for your freedom, fighting for your home, fighting for everything that meant something to you, and all of a sudden you're in front of all these people, and I really do believe it would have been very humbling to be standing there, and they had good routines. It was very quick. 250,000 slaves a year to run through this. And I say this, and I give this illustration because all of us, every one of us, I really believe this, that every one of us as believers were really placed on the auction block. I'm redeemed from sin. Sin in my natural state, in our nature, we know this. Sin has dominion and power and authority over us. We are naturally wicked creatures. We are naturally slaves to sin. Even if we, even if we have some morality about us, we are naturally doing wrong. We are bent. We are not toward God. We don't seek the things of God. We naturally are enemies of God. Mr. Rinker said this, when we recognize how sinful we are, we will be much more grateful for God's incredible forgiveness. And I ask you, I really ask you, have you recognized how sinful you really are or could be? I say this with much caution, really. I really believe we need to use very good discernment about bringing people to Christ. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think we need to be very careful, even about children. What child would not, if you paint a picture of what the glories of heaven look like and the pits of hell look like, what child wouldn't raise his hand? And I'm a firm believer in preaching and teaching the children. I am. But I don't think it's just about getting out of hell. I don't think it should be that easy. I don't think it should be. Yes, I want to go to heaven. I hope there came a time in your life where you recognized you were a sinner, for all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I hope you've recognized that, and how that by believing and trusting Christ as your Savior and accepting this most wonderful gift of salvation, by the blood of Christ shed on Calvary, you've been redeemed from sin. I hope that's real to us. Another speaker, Pastor Sean, said this: throughout the entire Bible, there's a thread that connects all things to God's provision, the redemption of Christ. Dr. Anderson said this: a loving servant is a slave whose identity and worth are defined by the relationship with the master. There is no identity greater than being a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus Christ bought you off the auction block of sin? Aren't you glad that sin no longer has power and authority and dominion over you? Aren't you glad you've been set free from sin and now you have become the servants of righteousness? Pentecost said this: redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, is a song we delight to sing. We lift our voices to extol not only the Redeemer, but the redemption which He has provided. But we will never be able to praise our Redeemer for His redemption until we understand our condition in sin, our need of redemption, the cost of redemption, and the deliverance which has been given to us by the redemptive work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. The word redemption really throughout the scripture has mainly three meanings. To tear loose or to purchase out of the marketplace. To set free. And I really like this because it even fits the definition of salvation. To never be returned. You can't, once you're bought by the blood of Christ, you can never be returned. Now I'm going to ask you to do something different. I'm going to ask you to, I know I haven't even asked you to open your Bible. But I'm going to ask you to close your Bible. I'm going to ask you to be, honestly, almost like a child. I want you to take your Bible and hold it. Hold on to your Bible. First thing I learned at Appalachian Bible College was the Bible is very pure. The Bible is perfect. The Bible is what's going to change and direct my life. And oh, how the Bible needs to, honestly, it's not just for the unbeliever, but may the Bible pierce my heart and soul throughout my life. May it cut me. May it change us. I'm going to ask you to do this, just in silence, please. And I'm not even going to give the reference, and I'd prefer really, and I don't mean to be judgmental or anything like this, but I'd prefer you not to even try to figure out or say, I know that verse. I want you to just listen to the Word. I'm going to be reading the Word, several passages. Let the Word of God speak to your heart. Just close your eyes and concentrate. Listen to these words. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin. Ye became the servants of righteousness. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your spirit, which are God's. Look up just for a moment, please. Never forget that. You were bought. You were purchased. You don't have the freedom to do whatever you want to do. You're not free to do that. You're bought. You're His. As a believer, you're His servant. And think about this. You're His adopted son. The freedom that we have is the freedom not being bound to sin. Now we're free in Christ to do the will of Christ, to be obedient to the Word. He bought you. Bow your heads again, please. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye therefore servants of men. For ye know that the grace of God, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty ye might become rich. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot or blemish. I don't know if you've kept notes or not, but now you might just move down to even your, you know, on your chapel journal, you can just write there various scripture about redemption. But down to that so what bridge, you might ask yourself, how am I supposed to respond to this? What do I do about this? There's just, very quickly, and I can't expound on this, but there's a few things that really come to my mind. First of all, number one is this. There, you might need to repent. You might need a change of heart. You might have lost focus. You might be like the one in 2 Peter chapter 1 that says he has forgotten. The one that's not growing, the one that's not becoming more like Christ, the one that's not developing godly character in his life, that person may have forgotten that he's been cleansed and redeemed and bought by the blood of Christ. His focus is off the cross. You might need revival in your heart. You just might need to be revived. Revival. You might need to recommit. You might need to be reminded of that and remember that you are to really, as a believer obedient to the Scripture, you are really to present your body a living sacrifice. And we should always do this. As believers, we should always rejoice. Wow. Honestly, think about this. I know this, and I thank God. I thank God so much that you guys are here, you students. I really do. You guys could do anything you wanted. You could go for a career in any career, anything. You could have a desire to make a lot of money. You could have a desire to do this, you know, all kinds of things. But you are the most blessed, rich, wealthy people on the face of the earth, being a child, being an adopted child, being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Money means nothing compared to that. So rejoice in that. I'm going to close with some words that I hope that aren't too familiar to us. And may those scriptures not be too, may they never be old to us. Listen to these words. Bow your head, close your eyes, and just focus on these. May these never be old to us. There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Hear the story from God's word that kings and priests and prophets heard. There would be a sacrifice and blood would flow to pay sin's price. On the cross, God loved the world while all the powers of hell were hurled. No one there could understand the one they saw was Christ the Lamb. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned He stood, sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Far dearer than all the world can impart was the message that came to my heart, how that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. How matchless the grace when I looked on the face of this Jesus, my crucified Lord, my redemption complete, I then found at His feet, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on Him there, and Calvary covers it all. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His mercy. His child, and forever I am.